What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So we see the beginning of Jesus' teaching ministry today. And he goes to Capernaum, a small town on the Sea of Galilee, and begins to teach in the synagogue. And the people at the synagogue, it says, were astounded at his teaching, because he taught as one who has authority. Are we ever astounded at Jesus' teaching? Do we have those moments week after week where when we hear the gospel proclaimed from the front steps or from the midst of the congregation, are we astounded at what Jesus is telling us each week? I would suggest that if we're not, that we might need to listen a little bit more closely. And the second thing I would suggest is illustrated as the story continues. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Just then, it's as if Jesus' very presence in the synagogue is enough to scare this unclean spirit and to cause it to want to act against him. Jesus' very presence threatens it. And so now that brings up my second point. Let's just forget about the first question I asked, where are we ever astounded by Jesus' teaching? Do we ever have times when we come into encounter with Jesus in church or in the world where we want to say, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Who do you think you are? You don't have any relevance for me today. Why are you talking to me?" And I'm going to suggest that if we have not had that reaction to Jesus from time to time, that we're not actually listening closely enough, because he says some pretty astounding things. Now here's the thing. This is a really interesting story to me, because Jesus steps into the synagogue, and just by being there, he brings out this reaction in this unclean spirit. Now what's an unclean spirit? Another word we'd use for it is demon, right? Now, whether or not we believe in actual demons, because some people consider it to be superstitious bunk, and some of us actually believe that there are other powers and principalities in the world with us, what I would suggest is that demons make an excellent metaphor. And so I think that this is a good chance to take a look at how the demons within us react to Jesus. The first thing I would say is, once again, this demon that's inside this man gets very threatened by the very presence of Jesus. Now, what are its properties? First, it speaks for the man, right? It uses the man's lips. It removes his agency. It says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." So this thing that's inside this man has taken away his ability to speak for himself and does his talking for him. This thing is also threatened by someone who can actually drive it out and heal the person it is possessing. It is threatened by someone who wants to help this man. So we have this thing that's inside someone that does its talking for them, that lashes out at those who want to help it. Where is this metaphor going? Do we have that inside of us? Have we ever had those moments where when someone questions something that we are doing, something we prioritize, a behavior, a possession, something about us or that we have that we love so much that we're willing to lash out at them? I know I can say that I have. And I've done so without thinking and wondered afterwards if I was the one even doing the talking. But there's more. There is more. If I can think of what that more is, I will tell you. The thing that's inside this person that does the talking for him, we say, is a demon. Now, in early Christian and even Jewish tradition, The way to exorcise a demon is to actually learn its name first. When you want to exorcise a demon, you want to know who it is so you can exercise authority over the demon. In this particular story, Jesus doesn't even get the chance to learn its name, but it knows who he is. And so for those who are reading this story and know anything about exorcism, they know that this is a threat. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? This demon is threatening Jesus because it knows his name. If it knows its name, his name, it has power over him. At least that's what it is trying to do right then and there. Now, let's go back to that thing inside of us that sometimes does our talking for us. There's a thing that's inside of us that sometimes lashes out. Does it know the names of our loved ones? Does it know their weak spots? Does it know how to exercise authority over them? Does it know their Achilles heel? Does it know how to dig in, make them cry, scare them away? Is there something like that inside all of us? And what does it do whenever it's confronted? It lashes out. Now, anyone who's ever struggled with addiction can tell you that this is a metaphor that they're very familiar with. The idea of something within them having control, denying them agency, doing their talking for them, lashing out at friends, family, and loved ones, and anyone who wants to help them, they know what that's all about. But I'm also going to suggest that if you don't know what that's about, then you really need to look inside yourself, because this is pretty common to all human beings. I can't tell you the amount of times in my life where when people have questioned what I am doing, whether it's a behavior, a hobby, something that I like, something that I value about myself, that I have lashed out at those who are trying to help me, that I have reacted in ways that I haven't even thought about, where it's felt like something inside of me has done my speaking for me. And I ask questions like, why did I say that? How could I say that? Was it even me doing the talking? And now here is the interesting part of the story. The demon asks a question. Have you come to destroy us? Yes. Jesus has come to destroy your demons. Jesus has come to destroy the things within all of us that keep us at odds with our friends, our families, and our loved ones. Jesus has come to destroy the things that we use to exercise power over those who are nearest and dearest to us. Jesus has come to destroy the things that we value more than life, love, relation, or God himself. That's what this story is about. Jesus wants to destroy the things that control us. And it's not without pain that this happens. I don't know if you've ever read The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis, but if you have, there's a really good scene about an angel smiting a demon that's attached itself to a person. And it's a really, really vivid description of what that might look like. But one thing that it is definitely that sort of jives with this story is that it's painful. When the demon comes out of the person, it convulses him. It makes him unable to speak for a minute. It causes him to scream. It's a painful process to get rid of the things in our lives that we depend on to do the talking for us sometimes. It's a painful thing to let go of the things in our lives that we value more than we value friends, family, loved ones, or our relationship with God. But when those things are gone, we are free. We are healed. So yes, Jesus has come to destroy those things, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would take some time to look within and find the things inside of us that we value more than friends, family, or loved ones. Maybe they're the toys that we play with. Maybe they're the habits that we indulge in. Maybe they're our political views. Maybe they're our pride in the way that we like to voice our opinion where everyone can hear it. When we find those things, my brothers and sisters, I pray that we would take them to Jesus to be destroyed. And finally, I pray that after this is done and after we go through the pain of that process, that we would recognize that we are free and that we are healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So we come to the beginning of Jesus' teaching ministry in Capernaum. And when he goes into the synagogue with his disciples, the people who are there are astounded by his teaching. He teaches as one with authority, as one who knows the ways of God and the ways of people. And so they are astounded by his teaching. And before we continue, I would just like us to meditate on the idea, or the question, I should say, of whether or not we are astounded by Jesus' teaching when we hear him week after week, when we hear him proclaim from the steps or from the midst of the congregation. Are we astounded by Jesus' teaching? Because if we're not, we might want to start listening more closely. And the second question I'd like us to consider is better illustrated by what happens next in the story. Just then, it says, just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" So my second question for us to consider is that have there been times when we have heard the gospel proclaimed where Jesus has said something that made us say, "You don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. How can you say that to me, Jesus? What do you have to do with me, Jesus of Nazareth?" Because I'm also going to suggest that if we haven't heard that or felt that reaction on occasion, then we need to listen more closely. But taking a look at this story, this is a very interesting story. Because the moment Jesus begins his teaching ministry in Capernaum, it tells us that just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. It's as if Jesus' very presence in this synagogue is enough to make this unclean spirit within this man feel threatened. Jesus' very presence causes a confrontation. Now, what is an unclean spirit? An unclean spirit, that's another word for a demon. Now, a lot of people don't believe in demons. They consider them superstitious bunk. But whether you do or you don't believe in demons, there is one thing to note about them. They make an excellent metaphor. They make an excellent metaphor. So let's take a look at this particular unclean spirit and how it responds to Jesus' teaching. First, it cries out and says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" It cries out through the man. The man's not the one doing the speaking in this story. It's the demon. So the demon is something inside of this man that takes away his agency, that does his speaking for him, and causes him to lash out when threatened without even thinking or having a chance to sort of consider his words. It does his talking for him. Something within him that reacts for him. So that's one thing to consider with demons, that they do our talking for us. And here's another thing. This man has been tormented by this spirit, and Jesus has come to help him. Right? Jesus helps us when we are tormented by unclean spirits. And so the spirit feels threatened by Jesus. So it feels threatened, and it causes the man to lash out. Something within us that is so protective of itself that causes us to lash out at those who want to help us, those who care for us, those who love us. Do we see where this metaphor is going? If we have never felt that moment in our lives, where we have wondered if something within us is doing our talking for us, then I would suggest that we're not paying enough attention to ourselves. Because this is what Jesus is about. Jesus is about bringing confrontation with these things in ourselves that we don't even question and that exercise authority over us. And further, notice the first thing that the demon says. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" It names him. The demon knows Jesus' name. Now, in ancient exorcisms, in order to exorcise a demon, you wanted to learn its name so that you could exercise authority over it. If a demon knew your name, you were in trouble. So the very fact that this demon knows Jesus' name and speaks it aloud is a threat on the part of the spirit towards Jesus. Now, going back to our metaphor, something within us that knows the names of those who want to help us and causes us to lash out at them. Do we have things within us that, when threatened, cause us to speak without thinking and attack the weak spots of those around us, those we love, those who are trying to help us? I know I do. I know I've got plenty of things within me that do that. I can look at many times in my life and say, what was I thinking? Was I even thinking? Was that me speaking? How could I say that to someone who I loved? How could I have struck at their Achilles heel, made them cry, made them run away, scared them off? How could I have done that? Was that even me? I think that's something common in all of our human experience. And I would say that those who have struggled with addiction perhaps understand this better than a lot of the rest of us, because they know about something inside of them that fights tooth and nail to remain there, that lashes out at those who love them and want to help them, that hurts those who are nearest and dearest to them. They understand that metaphor very well, but it applies to all of us. So they're a step ahead of us if they understand that already. So that's where our metaphor has taken us, the things within us that lash out at those who love us. And those things will fight tooth and nail to be protected. And they might be habits, they might be hobbies, they might be toys and treasures. If we were Gollum for the Lord of the Rings, they would be our precious. Anyone get that reference? They might be opinions, they might be political views, they might be ways in which we carry ourselves and ways in which we view ourselves. These are the things that we will fight to protect and lash out at those who love us when they come to help us. And so those are the things, when we are confronted, that say, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? The answer is yes. Yes, Jesus has come to destroy those things in us that cause us to lash out at friends, at family, at loved ones, and at God himself. Jesus has come to confront the things inside of us that cause us to be at distance with those we love. Jesus has come to heal us and to free us of the things that take away our agency and do our talking for us. And so what happens next in the story? Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. Anyone who has struggled with addiction or getting rid of bad habits or bad behaviors that hurt us knows how hard it is to let go of these things and how painful it can be. It is not a painless healing that we go through when Jesus confronts the things inside us that cause us pain and our loved ones pain. But when he has done it, we are free. My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would look inside of us and see if there are not things that sometimes do our talking for us. I pray we would look and see if there are things that lash out at our friends and family when they want to help us. I pray we would take those things to Jesus so that he might destroy them. And I pray, when all is said and done, that we would be thankful that we are healed, free, and restored to relation with our friends, our family, and our God. In Jesus' name, amen. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So here we are at the beginning of Jesus' teaching ministry. He goes into the synagogue of Capernaum with his disciples, and he went there and he taught. And in his teaching, those who were there were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, one who knew what he was talking about. Let's just pause for a second, because we come in here week after week, and we hear Jesus talking to us in the Gospels week after week. How many of us have been astonished or astounded when we have heard Jesus' words to us week after week? I'm going to suggest that if we're not regularly astounded, we might want to listen a little closer. And further, looking at the next point, just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" My second point is that if we have not had that reaction to Jesus, where we've heard something in our Gospels during the week, and we haven't said something along the lines of, "What does this have to do with us? What are you talking about, Jesus? Why does this apply to me?" We haven't heard that reaction, had that reaction. Again, we're probably not listening close enough, because Jesus can be quite confrontational. But let's take a deeper look at this story. Jesus goes into this synagogue to teach as one with authority. And his very presence in the synagogue and his very teaching prompts a just then moment. It's as if Jesus' very presence there incites this demon, this unclean spirit that's inside this man. Jesus just being there is a threat to the unclean spirit. Now, what is an unclean spirit? Let's take a look at that first. An unclean spirit, another word we would use for that, is demon. That's a more common word. Now, what do we know about demons just looking at this story? We know that the demon takes control of this man and does his talking for him. And we know that the demon is threatened by Jesus. Now, before we go any further, I know a lot of people don't believe in demons in this day and age, and they view it as superstitious bunk. Now, I'm not going to get into that debate, but what I will say about demons is that they make an excellent metaphor. So let's take a look at our demon here. We already established that this unclean spirit speaks on behalf of this man. It's not the man who cries out here. It's the demon using the man to utter words. The man has no agency, cannot speak for himself because of the thing inside him. That's one thing we know about this demon. The second thing we know about this demon is that it is threatened by Jesus, right? What have you come to do? What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? It is threatened by someone who has the potential to heal the man. So the thing within this man is lashing out at someone who can help the man. Now here's a little thing about demons and ancient exorcisms. When you wanted to exorcise a demon in the ancient world, the first thing you wanted to do was learn its name so that you could exercise power over it. If the demon knew your name, you were in trouble because it could exercise power over you. And what's the first thing that this demon says? "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Saying his name is a threat. It's kind of like a flexing of muscles. That's what's going on. So this demon knows Jesus' name. Now let's take a moment, right? We've talked about demons as a metaphor, and thus far, demons are things within inside us that sometimes do our talking for us. They lash out at those who want to help us. And they even know the names of those who are around us to exercise authority over them. How many times in our lives, when we have been confronted with something that we love, that we care about, by those who love us, maybe it's a treasure we have, maybe it's a habit we have, maybe it's a toy, a hobby, maybe it's an attitude, maybe it's our political beliefs, maybe it's our sense of who we are. How many times in our lives, when those who love us have tried to explain to us that some of these behaviors and things might be hurtful to us, do we lash out without thinking? And do we go for the jugular? Does the thing inside of us that sometimes does the speaking for us know the names of those around us, know the ways to hurt them, to wound them, to drive them off, to scare them? I know I can say with surety that this has happened to me many times in my life. Many times in my life where people have confronted me with my bad habits, confronted me with my attitudes, confronted me with my freely offered opinions, which I offer sometimes too freely, but have confronted me about the way that I conduct myself, the first thing I do is lash out at them. I go for their weak spot. I go for their Achilles heel. And it's not like it doesn't happen fairly frequently in my life. I wish it happened less. But after those moments, when that happens, I look back and I say, why did I say that? Why did I say that to that person? Why did I lash out? Was I even the one doing the talking there? Have we had that experience in our lives? I'm going to suggest that people who have struggled with addiction understand this metaphor better than many of us. They know about something that lives deep inside of them, that lashes out at those who want to help them, that goes for their weak spots and drives them away. But I'm also going to suggest that if we don't see that in ourselves, then we are not looking hard enough, because it's in everyone. That's the demon that lives inside of us. And now, what happens next? The demon asks, have you come to destroy us? Well, there is only one answer to that question with Jesus of Nazareth. Yes. Yes, Jesus has come to destroy the things that are inside us that drive us away from our friends, our family, and loved ones. Yes, Jesus has come to destroy the things inside of us that steal our agency, that do our speaking for us. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth has come to destroy the things in our lives that hurt us, that wound our loved ones, and wound our relationship with God. That is who Jesus is, and that is what Jesus does. So what happens? Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. Convulsing him and crying with a loud voice. When confronted by Jesus, Jesus drives away the thing that is controlling and enslaving this man. But it is not without pain. And those of us who have struggled to change behavior, to get rid of bad habits, to try to change our very being, know that it is never without pain. But in the end, when all is said and done, we are healed and we are free. My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would look within us and see if there are things about us that sometimes do the talking for us, that lash out at those around us, that hurt our loved ones and hurt us and hurt our relationship with God. I pray once we find these things, that we would bring them to Jesus so that he can destroy them. And I pray that after all is said and done, after the pain, the sorrow, and the tears, that the healing will begin and that we would be thankful that we are finally and truly free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.